My name is A.B. Samuel, and I'm one of the elders here at Emmanuel. Let me add my welcome to Gavin's. We'd love all of you to be here. We thank God all of you are here on this lovely bank holiday Sunday. If you're new or coming here for the first time, please do come and meet with us, and we'd be delighted to have a chat with you. As mentioned earlier, all you need is a Bible, which you should have picked up as you came in, and an order of service. And there's some space at the back if you want to use it for some notes. And for the children, the bag has already come around with notes for you to take. And please do listen to the sermon. And at the end, if you come up to the front, as usual, there'll be something from the goodie bag. So we've been studying how to pray. And today is the fifth in our series on learning to pray. But before we look to God's word, shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Father God, we pray that you will continue to teach us today as we learn together to bring our adoration, our confession, thanksgiving, request for pardon and peace, and supplication to you. Teach us, Lord, to have the confidence to approach you and make our requests according to your will, for you promised you will hear us. Amen. Shall we turn to Psalm 67? It's on page 481 in the Black Church Bible. Psalm 67. Seven verses, and we will read them all. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. As you said, this is the fifth in the series, and some of you may wonder, why do we need to learn how to pray? Isn't that what we do all the time? Isn't it just speaking to God? Quite often our prayers are crisis prayers determined by circumstances. Exams and health and problems and jobs and floods even. I was very impressed and touched when I read the prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. This is just before there was a decree saying that he has to bow down before the king. And it says there, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Not crisis prayers, just as he had done before. The first week, we did learn why and how we should adore this great, big, wonderful God that we have. And then we learned to confess our sins, why, how, and when we should confess our sins. And then David took us through our need to be thankful to God in all things, at all times. And last week, we looked at how we should ask for pardon for our sins and for peace. And today I'll be going through Psalm 67, and we'll be looking at how do we pray for others. And those of you who want to go home and look at a very good prayer, there's a very good prayer in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, when Nehemiah prays, it contains all the wonderful aspects of prayer that we've been studying so far. Okay. Praying for others. Now, in our home, we are very good at praying for others. the core of my daughter, youngest daughter, Tara's prayer. Thankfully, she's not here today. Usually goes something like this. Pray for Appa and Amma, Mia, Rachel, Tom, and me. A couple of other requests are also thrown in for good measure. I'm sure if we are very honest, we can all say that our prayers are quite narrow, crisis determined, and in some ways rather selfish, meaning that we pray for us and our very near and dear ones. It is always good to look at the example of our Lord Jesus, and I've just put up there two references. In John 17, just before he is betrayed, Jesus prays for his disciples, and not just for his disciples, for others. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. See, in a moment of crisis, personal tragedy, which is going to happen in a few hours and days, he prays for others selflessly. And if you look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, I did go back to the Lord's Prayer and ask myself, where in the Lord's Prayer does it say that we pray for others? Where, you know, what does it say in praying for others? And on the face of it, it doesn't look like there's anything about praying for others. However, if you look at it very closely, it says, give us today our daily bread. Deliver us from evil and temptation and so on and so forth. And this us really could mean Jesus is praying not just for us as a small group or me as an individual or a family or a church, but us as the whole community of people living on earth. And as I was studying this and looking it up, and I came upon something very interesting which I didn't know or do before, and I thought I'd share it with you. And I just learned that you could use the Lord's Prayer. Some of you know this already, but I didn't. Some of you could use the Lord's Prayer to pray for others. For example, you may say, may Tara hollow your name. May your will be done in Rebecca's life. Forgive Kevin his sins. I'm sure he's got lots of them. And, or give Abby the grace to forgive others. It's something which I learned, and I think it's useful for us to remember. We can use the Lord's Prayer to even pray for others. Okay, when we come to Psalm 67, we just read this. And if you look at in your Bibles, we look at the credits about the psalm. It says, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. It doesn't say specifically who wrote it, but this is believed to be written by David the king, King David. As we know, David wrote many psalms, and Psalm 55, 65, 66, and 68 have all the same credits, and two of them have specifically a song by David. So we think this psalm is written by David. And then if you have a cursory read of the psalm, we've just read it. Again, on the face of it, doesn't sound like a prayer for others, because it's a refrain from the Aaronic blessing, priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6. So often we read it as part of our psalm reading and do not pay too much attention to it, because this passage is reasonably familiar. Numbers blessing, we all know the blessing, we've heard it, we've read it. And I was even intrigued that Martin Luther apparently wrote 5 big volumes on the Psalms and skipped Psalm 67 altogether. And I must confess that when Andrew sent this the topic and the psalm across, I thought he got the numbers wrong, Psalm 67. But studying this psalm, it indeed is a psalm for praying for others. And in many ways, this is a great missionary psalm. A lesson for me and a lesson for us all. To remind ourselves, you know, continually that we have this word of God in front of us. And this word of God, as it's we read in Timothy, is all scripture is God-breathed, not just bits of it. All scripture, and useful for teaching. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to study how to pray from Psalm 67. So those of you who like structure in your Bible studies and the way you read, and study the Bible. This does have a structure as well. If you want to look at the structure bits, the first two verses are really a plea for God's blessing, and the last two verses are really the answer to that plea, God's blessing. Verse 3 and 5 are really repetitions of the same thing, which says that we need to praise the Lord. And verse 4 is what we read at the beginning of the service, about joyful praise to a worthy God. So that's what this structure is. But I thought I'll do it differently, and I thought we'll study the psalm by trying to answer these three questions. And I must say, we've been bombarded with question and answers, isn't it, every week with the Heidelberg Catechism. And I find it a very good way of studying God's word. So I thought we'd look at and try to answer these three questions. Who should we be praying for? What should we be praying when we pray for others? And thirdly, why we should pray for others? Okay, so if you want to look at who we should pray for, let's turn to verse 1, Psalm 67. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. The key really is the word us. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, where the root comes from, this reflects the Levitical blessing on the people of Israel. So it is not just me and my family or my church even. It is actually the whole community, the people of Israel. And actually this is rooted even far back. If you look on to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, where God blesses Abraham, this is what he says. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, this blessing is not local. It is pretty global. And it just not just extend to the people of Israel, but extends to you, me, us, the whole wide world. And thirdly, when we looked at the passage, the New Testament passage we read in 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, it says there, I urge you, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. This New Testament passage is very clear, and clear instruction to Timothy. It's for everyone, including rulers and people we don't like, even perhaps people like Donald Trump. But God has put them in place for a purpose. In Jeremiah 29, we read the exiles in Babylon being exhorted to pray for the land that they're in, that they will prosper. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught us to forgive those who trespass against us. And verse 8, we read that of 1 Timothy 2, I desire that in every place men should pray lifting holy hands. So if you want to answer that question, who should we be praying for? The mandate is not really selfish or parochial, but indeed universal. We should be praying for everyone. We should be praying for everyone. And there's an application there for all of us, old and young. When we pray, and pray regularly, it's important that we should remember not to narrow our focus, but to have a clear vision to extend our prayers behind the confines of our home, our church, and just extend it to the whole world. We are asked, in fact, we are mandated to pray for everyone. Secondly, what should we be praying for when we pray for others? We should be praying for three things. And firstly, is to pray for God's grace and mercy. We need to go back to verse 1. It says there, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. And here the emphasis is really on the word gracious. If you look at the secular definitions of gracious, this goes something like this. It says courteous and kind and pleasant, usually to somebody of a lower social standing. But if you look at the Bible, the Word of God, gracious always means merciful, forgiving, and compassionate. This means that when we pray for others, it's our prayer that others will be recipients of God's grace, receiving what they do not deserve. And that's exactly what grace means, isn't it? Receiving everything, blessings included, that we don't deserve. What we deserve is actually God's judgment. But instead, he gives us free pardon and eternal life through Jesus Christ, who paid a debt. And God's grace leads to blessing. That's what it says there. Gracious to us and bless us. So when we pray as a church, when we pray as individuals, we need to ask God, we need to beg God to be gracious, not just to our families, but to the whole world. That he might have mercy. It's important that we bring these people, not just our dear ones, but everybody we know, to the throne of grace, that they may have forgiveness of sins. We all have those who are dear to us. How wonderful it would be if they all knew the saving power of our Lord Jesus. So when we pray for others, firstly, Psalm 67 teaches us that we ask God to be gracious, that others will be recipients of his grace and mercy. Secondly, we are asked to pray for restoration, that God will restore them. Go back to verse 1 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. The emphasis here is the phrase, make his face to shine upon us. This is simply asking God to restore us. That's what it means, that we should be restored, that we should have restoration. And what does that actually mean? That we turn back to God, come back to him, have that relationship that was lost. And for that, we need to actually look back to the Old Testament story in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve in the created Eden had a wonderful relationship with God, and they lived a life in communion with God. But when they sinned, they were banished. They were sent away, and God turned his face away. And then when we look at the Old Testament again, when God chooses Abraham, he chooses a people. He chooses to be their people. Abraham is not deserving. God chose him. And God was kind. And then we see the Mosaic covenants. And we see in Exodus, when they were in the tents in the desert, God's presence dwelt with them. When the temple was built in Jerusalem, God's presence was with them. God turned his face to them. He restored them. 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He restored us by his blood to our God. And because of that, today you and I can say that his face is shining on us. We are restored. We are reconnected with this God. So when we pray for others, we pray for grace and mercy. And grace and mercy leads to restoration, the realignment, the reconnection with a God, something we don't deserve, but we are reconnected because of Jesus. So that's the second thing we need to pray for restoration. And thirdly, we need to pray for God's happiness and joy. Verses 3 to 5, this is what it says. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. This should be our third request when we pray for others. What are we praying for others? We pray for God's mercy and grace. We pray for restoration. And we pray for God's happiness and joy. And you know, happiness and joy will naturally lead to praise. When those we pray for know God as the Lord of their lives and as God of the universe, they will sing for joy. And they're not worried about the judgment. Look there at the verse. It says, he will judge the people. Normally with judgment comes fear and probably punishment. But in many ways, we don't have to fear that, because he, Jesus, took our place. And we read that he is our high priest, interceding for us before the throne of grace. At the same time, righteous, and at the same time, a sinner. My sin is imputed on Jesus, and Jesus' righteousness is imputed on me. So we don't need to fear judgment. We are actually pleased for the judgment, because he is interceded for us, and we can sing for joy. So to answer the question, when we pray for others, what should we be praying for? Psalm 67 teaches us, firstly, to pray for God's grace and mercy. Secondly, for restoration and reconciliation with God. And finally, that others may have God's happiness and joy leading to praise. But again, what is the application for us? Yes, we should pray for health, we should pray for peace, we should pray for our daily needs. Indeed, we will pray according to the circumstances. But what is most important? Psalm 67 teaches us. And it was so good to hear the young fathers professing their hopes and dreams for their children a few weeks ago at the baptism, expressing clearly that their desire for the next generation is to know God and the blessings which inevitably follow. And as we just have seen in Psalm 67, that should be our desire for our children, for our families, for our friends, for our church, and for the wider world, that they will know God. And then the blessing will follow. So thirdly, why should we be praying for others? So what do we want to see when we pray for others? Firstly, that they should know God. In verse 2, it says, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all the nations. So that's the big picture. The reason we pray for others is that he will be known on earth and his power among the nations. In Matthew 28, when you look at Matthew 28, the Great Commission, that's what it says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Disciples of all nations. Not just heal them, make disciples of them. And if you remember the paralyzed man when he was brought to Christ, he said, let your sins be forgiven. What we should be praying for, our desire for when we pray for others, is that they should know God. That should be the crux, the focus of all our prayers. And what is it that they should know? It says there that your way may be, that two things may be known, your way and your saving power. What is the way? The way is his will, his word, his works. God's will must be known on earth so that it is done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus himself says he is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we pray for others, that they should, what should they know? That they should know Christ. Have his mercy, be restored, and will be able to sing. And the second thing that they would know is the saving power. It says that your saving power among all the nations. See, when you have Christ, you will see what he can do. A people who are freed from bondage into the glorious freedom and happiness that you experience in Christ. So those of you who have heard of a charity called Tamar, which is a Christian charity which is run by All Souls in Langham Place. It works among the sex slaves in London, not far away, in London. And some of the amazing stories which come out of restoration and of happiness that only Christ can provide. And if any of you are really interested, they have it's 5 years since they've started. It's on the 4th of October. They have a meeting in Langham Place where you can hear amazing stories of people who have been transformed. God's word has the power to transform lives. He has a saving power. The second reason, or the second reason we pray for others, second thing we want to see when we pray for others is that they will fear God. That they will fear God. In verse 7 it says, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So when we know God, we will reverentially fear him. And if you see how that very nicely combines, the blessing, the joy combines very well with fear. In Psalm 2:11 we read, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Interesting, isn't it? Rejoice with trembling. So what is this fear that we're talking about? Is it, am I afraid of this God? Am I afraid of this punishment? You know, the fear of God simply means an attitude of respect and a response of reverence and wonder and worship. An attitude of respect and a response of reverence, wonder and worship. Because that's the only appropriate response you can have to this Creator God and, more important, this Savior God. It brings back flashbacks of Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the duty, sole duty of mankind. So that's the second reason we pray for others, that they will fear God and know him. So to answer the question, why should we pray for others? Or to put it differently, what are the fruits? Psalm 67 very clearly teaches us, this is the reason, that everyone will know God and will fear him. So let's not forget that this God of ours is an amazing God, an awesome God. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So there's no harm asking. There's no reason not to ask, no reason not to ask repeatedly, because that's what he wants of us. So that's what we learned today from Psalm 67. And as I close, this is my prayer. That when we pray for others, the Lord will enable each one of us, as individuals, as families, as a church, not just to be short-sighted and pray for us. And a good starting point will be actually taking the church membership or the church members list and start praying for people. That we should pray for everyone. That our prayers should be that others should experience God's grace and mercy, that they will be restored and enjoy the joy and happiness and peace that can only be found in him. And finally, when we see this fruit, we can also rejoice, praise and worship with them where they know and fear God. May God help us in our prayers for others to pray as in Psalm 67. As the musicians come up to sing our last song, shall we just bow our heads in prayer? In 1 John 5, verse 14, we read, this is the confidence which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Lord, this morning we pray that you will be gracious to us. Bless us. And make your face to shine on us. May your way be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. May we join with all the peoples to praise you, O Lord, and fear you. Amen.